is Tuesday afternoon, and why don't y'all come fly away with me this afternoon? We're going to be talking about the South Carolina Historic Aviation Foundation. We're going to be talking about restoring old Skokie. That's right, that old airplane that spent 30-some plus years at the bottom of Lake Greenwood. And today I have with me as my very special guest, Gary Bird. He is the treasurer and vice president of the South Carolina Historic Aviation Foundation. How you doing today, Gary Bird?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me in today, Ann.
It's great to see you. Now, of course, you this isn't all you do. You have another full-time job, and what exactly do you do?
I own South Carolina Hearing Center here in Greenwood. We've been here in Greenwood for over 30 years. I actually took over an ongoing business, so my business has been in Greenwood for over 45 years. We do hearing evaluations and fit folks with hearing aids.
Well, then I guess you better give them out that telephone number, because I'll bet there's a lot of people out there that need this.
Well, I didn't come here to talk about that, but we are located in Greenwood at 310A Calhoun Avenue, and it's 223-1178.
Well, you know, this is a multi-purpose show. We cover it all here. And we have a lot of listeners that, my husband included, that could use a little hearing help. So now tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you raised?
I was born and raised right here in Columbia, in the state of South Carolina, so I'm a South Carolina native from the get-go.
Now, I guess you also like to restore other things besides big airplanes. What else have you restored?
Well, I haven't yet restored a big airplane. However, I have restored over 100 classic Ford Mustangs, principally 65s and 66s. So I'm just kind of a nut about old things.
Old things, yes. In fact, a past national director of the 50,000-plus member Mustang Club of America.
Yes, I held that position for 6 years, and I started the first regional group here in South Carolina back in 1978. And I have a judging certification from that organization at the highest level. But old cars are a lot of fun to restore, but we have a massive project ahead of us at this particular point in another vein altogether.
Absolutely, we do. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But how did you get into Mustangs?
My parents bought a new one off the showroom floor in 1966 when I was but a youngster, still too young to drive, and I coveted that car for years. And finally, after having flitted through my mother's hands and virtually everybody else in the house's hands, it got into my hands, and I promptly wrecked it.
Oh, no.
But at my first opportunity, I bought my first one for myself in 77 and have owned quite a few since then.
How about that? All right. Well, and not only that, but I was reading here, you also officiate high school football?
Yes, I'm involved in officiating high school football and high school and college wrestling.
Oh, wow. Now, wrestling has really come on strong as a sport now, hasn't it?
Yes, it's come on a good bit. It has, in the years that I've been involved in it for over 30 years now, waxed and waned. And at this particular point, we've seen a nice little resurgence in high school wrestling, and college wrestling is coming back as well.
And a lot of really young wrestlers are getting into it, aren't they, at a young age?
Well, the YMCA here in Greenwood has established a nice feeder program for Emerald and for Greenwood High, and they're producing some good wrestlers over there.
Absolutely. Now I got to ask you, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A fighter pilot.
A fighter pilot?
or maybe a nuclear physicist. But
didn't do any of those, did
you? No, we seldom end up exactly where we plan, but we've made good use of the time, I suppose, in working with the hearing impaired over the last 35 or so years.
Absolutely. Now, just where do you officiate high school football?
Well, high school football for SCISA. So I'm doing from time to time some of the stuff over at Greenwood Christian and at the Cambridge Academy. We did a lot of Coach Tannehill's games back in the day when Greenwood's Cambridge Academy was tearing up the field in eight-man football. But I ref for the high school league in football as well, and I ref for the high school league in wrestling, and I still in college at NAIA, NCAA, NCAA 1, 2, and 3.
I just got to know, I mean, as an officiator, did you ever feel intimidated?
Well, I think in football and wrestling, they simply want to push you to the limits, and you have to know when to grin at them and let it go, and you have to know when to tell them that it's time to get back in line.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we broadcast football, and I'm the color girl on the sideline, so I've seen a lot of things in football over the years, and it can be kind of interesting.
Well, it's an interesting avocation, officiating high school and college sports. If you're a former high school or college athlete, you really enjoy the opportunity to keep your finger on the pulse of it a little bit. It's nice to be able to, come August, step out there and smell the fresh-cut grass just like the football players do and remember a little bit of the fun you used to have when you played the game and enjoy as much of it as you can while you're officiating the game.
Absolutely. Well, that's who Gary Bird is here. And, of course, he just wanted to give you a little background. We always do this. And, you know, you got involved in Skunky, which is really, what is Skunky?
Skunky is the B-25C Mitchell bomber. It's a medium bomber built in 1942 by North American Aviation in Inglewood, California. That particular airplane was part of the training fleet that was based right here in the state of South Carolina that trained virtually all the B-25 pilots for the United States Army Air Corps, later Air Force, and at least seven different foreign countries who flew the B-25 during World War II.
Absolutely. Now, of course, this ended up, now it was down in Columbia, correct?
The plane is currently down in Columbia.
No, but where was it stationed?
Well, the airplane was flown in 42 after it was assembled at Inglewood at North American to the Columbia Army Air Base and assigned there as part of the training fleet. During its usage for the next two some odd years, it was stationed at different air bases here in South Carolina. It even did a short stint in Florida where it was used for training B-25 pilots over the ocean down there for open water navigation, which was useful in the Pacific Theater where they did a lot of navigation over the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
In June of 1944, it found itself stationed in Greenville at the Greenville Army Air Base, which is currently the Donelson Center,
mm-hmm.
and was flying out of there training B-25 pilots on temporary assignment from Columbia.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was June 6, 1944, when it was actually coming over, was D-Day, right?
You're exactly right. It was an auspicious occasion.
Unbelievable. I didn't know that day. Yeah.
Unbelievable coincidence that the plane should crash on D-Day.
And it crashed in?
It crashed in Lake Greenwood while doing low-level exercises over the lake and training, bombing, and strafing. The plane was a very versatile platform and was not only used for medium bombing runs at altitude, but was also used against shipping and troops and low-level strafing. One of the models of the B-25 that was flown in the Pacific Theater had 16 forward-facing 50-caliber machine guns and cut quite a swath when it flew over in enemy shipping or over a enemy emplacement on the ground.
Absolutely. So this, here they were. They were just practicing, if I understand correctly. We were over, Normandy here, getting ready to bomb that area, and this is happening right here. Phenomenal.
The accident occurred late in the afternoon, and Daniel Rossman, who lives in Roswell, Georgia, was a young pilot trainee on the airplane at the time and is at this particular point the only surviving member of the crew that crashed into Greenwood. And by the way, nobody died in the crash. Daniel did sustain the worst injury. He got 20 stitches in his chin, I believe, if I remember the number correctly. But he got a nice little cut on his chin when he ran into the yoke of the airplane steering wheel. The 4 o'clock in the afternoon here on East Coast placed us 8 to 10 hours behind the beginning of the assault there at Normandy. So the news was breaking rapidly on the local stations, and according to Mr. Rossman, several members of the training flight that were not otherwise occupied in sitting in the right-hand seat, the co-pilot seat, were huddled around the radio receiver in the airplane radio section trying to dial up information about the Normandy invasion.
Wow. And so then what happened? They hit the, didn't the propeller hit the water or something? They were flying, they were showing off, weren't they, kind of?
Well, I'm not sure. There's varying reports as to what was actually going on from what Matt Self was able to put together when he put together the group that raised the plane in 1983. Some of the locals indicated that there might have been some showing off or sunbathing beauties on the banks of the lake.
I like this story already. It sounds more interesting, yes.
The official report is a little bit more dull in that they just got a little too close and caught a prop.
Yeah, exactly. So it went down, and it sunk very fast, right? 5 minutes or something?
It sunk in about 20 minutes.
20 minutes, yeah. Okay.
But long enough, stayed afloat long enough for locals to grab a boat and power out to where they were and rescue the crew.
Absolutely. So we're going to be talking all about this and how you, if you'd like to get involved and maybe come up with some ideas on how to restore this fabulous piece of history, one of only, is there three in the United States? Is that what I read?
There's only three surviving sea models, none of which fly.
None of which fly. So we're going to be talking more about that when we come back. If you've got a question for Gary, how about give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery, 4:21 in the afternoon. That's right. We are talking about Skunky. That's that great B-25C. Okay, I got to get this and get this military lingo going. B-25C that was on the bottom of Lake Greenwood, brought up in 1983. Matt Self was instrumental in that. Now, what was Matt Self thinking when, how did this come about that it decided to be brought up? Because it could still be down on the bottom of the lake, couldn't it?
In about 1982, Matt Self happened to be reading an aviation magazine in which he saw an article where a North Dakota-based Air Force squadron was looking for a B-25 to put on display. It appears that in World War II, this squadron, which was now in 1983 in North Dakota manning missile silos, had been a B-25 squadron in the Pacific during World War II, and they wished to have a B-25 to put on display at their base in North Dakota to honor the heritage of those flyers who preceded them.
Sure. So he saw this, and then what happened?
Well, according to Mr. Self, he contacted the base commander, and they seemed very, very pleased that they would be able to have a B-25. And
tell him it was on the bottom of the lake.
I would presume that occurred. So that had been part of the conversation. At any rate, as soon as he received specific word that the Air Force Base was willing to take this B-25, he made contact with Strom Thurmond's office and enlisted the support of the senator. And he enlisted the support of the Navy on behalf of Matt Self's group. And between the group that he put together locally and the Navy salvage team from Norfolk, Virginia, came down and did a preliminary estimate of the plane's condition and located it, and then came back the next summer and raised the airplane. When the plane was raised from the bottom of Lake Greenwood and placed on the ground right behind the old Panorama restaurant right off of Highway 34, it basically became an orphan from that point because the condition of the airplane indicated that it was going to need a fair bit of cosmetic restoration to make it presentable. And at that point, the Navy, the Air Force Base in North Dakota promptly bowed out, and the airplane had no place to go. So it ended up on the grassy tarmac area at Greenwood Airport, waiting for further plans to be developed for its preservation.
Wow. So how long did it sit there out at the airport?
It's my understanding it was there about 2 years or so before it was acquired by a group in Colombia who trucked it down there to do a cosmetic restoration to make it a presentable display for the 1992 50th anniversary reunion of the Doolittle Raiders, which was going to be held at that time in Colombia.
Hmm. Okay. And, of course, Doolittle was...
Jimmy Doolittle was the individual who came up with the ideal of flying B-25 medium bombers off the deck of an aircraft carrier and making a retaliatory strike against Japan in the months after the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
Wow. So, you know, there's a lot of significance and a lot of history here in South Carolina.
Well, the biggest catch to all this is the entire B-25 pilot and crew contingent at one point or another, everybody who flew in or flew the B-25 as a pilot or co-pilot came through the state of South Carolina at some point for part of their training. The all-significant instruction in B-25 and advanced training was done here in South Carolina for planes that flew all around the world in every theater, from the Aleutian Islands to the Mediterranean to the European theater, to the South Pacific Asiatic Theater. All those pilots who flew the nearly 10,000 B-25s that were built during World War II all came through South Carolina at one point or another, and that is, in my opinion...
Phenomenal. That's
in my opinion, other than the soldiers who came through infantry training at Fort Jackson, one of South Carolina's singularly largest contributions to the World War II effort.
Wow. Unbelievable. I had no idea. Now, so we're going to be talking about seeing how this can be restored. It did sit down there for
39 years.
Well, 39 years in the bottom of the lake, but then it's been down there in Colombia for...
It's been in Colombia for more than 20 years now.
More than 20 years. Just had a really just a little cosmetic restoration for that gathering for 1992.
It had a nice cosmetic restoration. It made it a presentable example of its original condition. However, none of the corrosion problems were addressed, and a substantial portion of the instrumentation and gear from the flight deck was absconded with.
Absconded with, okay.
And the damage that was done to the underbelly of the airplane, the loss of the bomb bay doors and the access hatch, they were just sheet metaled over for cosmetic purposes and not repaired or replaced. There was extensive damage to the belly of the airplane when it was crashed and as it sat on the bottom of the lake.
Wow. Now, where is it sitting right now?
Well, the airplane is sitting in the 1929 Curtis Wright Hangar at Hamilton Owens Field in Columbia right now. It has been there virtually all the time that it has been in Columbia, and I would assume that would be since about 1990 when it was taken down there. The cosmetic restoration took about 18 months or so before the 1992 reunion and the summer of 1992.
Right. Now this hangar where it's at is pretty darn historic.
Well, it does have its own claim to fame. It is the oldest general aviation hangar remaining in the state of South Carolina. It is in rather poor and dilapidated condition right now, so our poor and dilapidated airplane in need of restoration is sitting in a poor and dilapidated hangar in need of restoration, but luminaries like Amelia Earhart, who's today actually happens to be the 75th anniversary of the death of Amelia Earhart,
she signed the logbook.
And Charles Lindbergh was there, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt was there, and Jimmy Doolittle himself flew into that hangar in 1944 on a fundraising tour. He was selling war bonds for the Army. Quite a few luminaries have passed through the gates of the historic 1929 Curtis Wright hangar.
Wow. Well, listen, I do want you to stay tuned. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We are talking about Skunky. We're talking about how we can get it restored, and it needs a home, folks. So we want this to be a vehicle, a airplane that stays right here in South Carolina. Hope you'll stay tuned. I hope you'll be part of the solution here today. Hey, I am Ann Eller. I am here with Gary Bird. Right now it is time for South Carolina News and a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Happy days, Tuesday,
Wednesday, happy days, Thursday, Friday, happy days, Saturday, what a day.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, talking about that B-25C. Is that right? I got it right this time, okay, and I didn't have my notes in front of me. That was Skunky that was on the bottom of Lake Greenwood for many years, and of course right now is down there in Columbia at a historic area. But now, tell us what could be happening to the hangar down there where it is right now. This is very interesting right here. This has really put a lot of pressure, I guess, to go ahead and bring this project online.
Yes, it has. There's a group of restaurateurs that are putting together a plan and approaching the Richland County Council, which controls the hangar down there, about taking control of the facility or buying it outright and turning it into a destination restaurant. And those plans are excellent for the hangar. Something needs to be done to preserve the hangar. It's an important piece of aviation history. It's important to the people of the state of South Carolina. So for purposes of the foundation, we're glad to see them step forward and make an offer to do that. They would like to have our airplane there as a permanent display. And while that would be very nice for the restaurant and would be a alternative that would be better than what we currently have for the airplane,
mm-hmm.
It's not what a lot of us in the foundation envision. We would like to see the airplane as the centerpiece of a South Carolina Historic Aviation and or Aerospace Museum. The state
now,
of South
used to have one down in Florence, right?
Well, there was a privately owned and funded Florence Air and Space Museum, but it's been closed over 20 years now.
It's been a long time since I've been to Myrtle Beach.
But it was the last aviation museum of any shape, size, or description in the state of South Carolina. The state of South Carolina has currently no aviation museum that attempts to tell the story of South Carolina's proud aviation heritage, everything from the barnstorming days right after World War I and all the way through the current aerospace age we have going on right now with modern space-age jets being built down in Charleston, and the current head of NASA being a South Carolina native, Charles Bolden.
Mm-hmm.
The state of South Carolina has a significant and interesting history to tell, and there are no museums in the state of South Carolina that are attempting to do so, and we would like to establish that and use our B-25 as the focal point of that museum and collect and curate other important examples of airplanes that were flown by notable South Carolinians.
Absolutely. So looks like, I mean, that isn't totally a done deal down there, but that probably is the direction that they're looking at going with it.
It is most likely the direction that it's going with, and their construction plans will put our airplane back out on the street, so to speak, and we won't have a home for it.
So
we are looking for assistance from any quarter in housing the airplane, and assistance in locating a current hangar or a hangar or space to build a hangar on an active runway that might be the future home for the state of South Carolina's aviation/aerospace museum.
Now, why not just go to the state and try to get some money from the state for this, Gary?
Well, clearly with the current funding situation in the state, this is not an opportune time. And from the beginning, it's been the opinion of the folks that are involved in this organization, the South Carolina Historic Aviation Foundation, that we could and should put this together using support from the citizens of the state of South Carolina and from the corporate citizens of the state of South Carolina, both private individuals or maybe some well-heeled individuals who may be of an aviation bent, and from small, medium, and large corporations here in the state of South Carolina. That's where we hope to garner the support necessary to raise the funds to restore the airplane and to begin this museum.
So you really need a place, but you, first off, you have two issues then going on right now. You're going to have a place to keep the B-25 while it is being restored, and you need to raise the funds to be able to do this. Now, how much is it going to cost just to restore this wonderful piece of history?
Our preliminary estimates place the restoration cost at $1.5
million. $1.5
million.
That's not down any due to the economy, is it?
I'm afraid that one of the portions of the economy that has not suffered whatsoever in the downturn over the last several years is the restoration of classic airplanes. The business is booming. The value of the airplanes are going up daily. When we acquired this airplane, a flyable B-25 could be had for somewhere in the neighborhood $600,000 to $700,000. At this particular point, just a scant 2 years later, it's pushing $1 million now to buy a flyable copy. They just aren't making them anymore.
Wow.
And there's a very scant number of those that are in flying condition. There's only a slightly larger number of those airframes that are restorable. And ours is right on the cusp of being restored. We know that we have a very, very difficult and arduous project ahead of us to restore this airplane to museum quality or even hopefully better to flying condition. But anything worth doing was never easy. And anything that you want to do right is not going to be done cheaply.
Absolutely. You are. I mean, you're absolutely right. But now, you of course, if you have to move this, you were telling me you'd actually take the plane almost apart. You'd take the wings off, but then you said once you take those wings off, they're not going back on.
Well, it's our plan that we only do that once.
Okay.
We're going to keep that airplane at that hangar as long as we possibly can, as long as we can find some arrangement that's suitable that will allow us, when we've put together the resources necessary to commence the restoration, to start it. But if we have to move it from the hangar, it'll have to be moved the same way it was moved from Greenwood to Columbia initially back in the early 1990s on the back of a truck. So taking the wings off and taking the tail section off would not be necessarily difficult to do because this B-25 it was unique among a lot of other airplanes that were built during the World War II period in that it was built in sections and then assembled on an assembly line, so to speak, to facilitate more rapid production of the airplane. As pointed out earlier, there were nearly 10,000 copies of it made, which is a significantly higher number than other bombers of the period. And it was put together on an assembly line pretty much the way that Henry Ford built those Model A's back in the day.
Now, this is made of what material?
It's made of aluminum.
Aluminum? Yeah, well, can we start crushing up aluminum cans? No, just teasing.
Well, actually, that was the fate that quite seriously awaited this airplane before our organization formed less than 2 years ago to acquire it. The foundation that had been given the airplane more than a decade ago had guaranteed its safekeeping in return for accepting the airplane free of charge from the City of Columbia, which at that time held title to it. They decided that for their own purposes, it was now surplus goods, and they actually had it up on eBay and were trying to hawk it on eBay for not much more than its weight in beer cans.
Wow.
And we stepped in at that particular point because a group of us realized that it was an important piece of South Carolina history, and it deserved a better fate. Just 5 years prior to the onset of our organization, a B-25 was raised from the bottom of Lake Murray another B-25C that was part of the training fleet that had crashed into the lake in the Columbia area. It was raised and sent off to Birmingham, Alabama, to a museum there that had agreed to take possession of the airplane and restore it. As soon as they brought the airplane across the Alabama state line and got it to Birmingham, they immediately reneged on all their agreements to restore the airplane, and we did not want to see anything like that happen. They just cut it up and used sections of it for displays in their museum.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, we are here with Gary Bird. We're talking about the South Carolina Historic Aviation Foundation, which wants to restore Skunky to its former glory. The best-case scenario would be that it could fly and go to all across the state, whether it's to festivals or air shows or this type of thing. You'd like to be able to show it off and show the glory of that time and honor our World War II vets for what they did and to show off a piece of equipment.
Well, the ideal purpose of the foundation is to preserve the history of the state of South Carolina through this particular airplane. I mean, since its assembly in Inglewood, California, it was flown directly to South Carolina. In point of fact, it has virtually never left the state of South Carolina's borders since it arrived here from the assembly plant. So it is a South Carolina resident of long duration, much longer than me.
Absolutely. Well, this is a phenomenal story. Hey, you know, would you like to get involved? Now, Gary, if somebody's listening out there and they'd like to get in touch with you to talk further about it, or maybe they've got some ideas, how should they get a hold of you?
Well, the foundation's website is SC, short for South Carolina, obviously, historicaviation.org. And if they would like to reach me, I'll be glad to provide my cell phone number, 803-312-4601. And I would be glad to discuss with anybody their options or their opinions or how they might be able to help this foundation achieve a really laudable goal. There is no other aviation museum in the state of South Carolina. We're not duplicating what's being done anywhere. There are a small collection of airplanes on the flight deck and hangar deck of the Yorktown in Charleston, but those individual airplanes are peculiar only to that aircraft carrier. So they don't really tell the story of anything other than that aircraft carrier, or generally a little bit about the history of naval aviation in off of aircraft carriers, not even the whole story for naval aviation from land bases. But what we want to tell is what state of South Carolina and their citizens and its citizens did through the entirety of aviation in South Carolina, from the first guy who, Paul Redfern, who flew from an airfield, which is now underneath Dreer High School in Columbia, South Carolina, the first guy to fly nonstop from North America to South America, and nobody in the state of South Carolina knows his name. He was an important individual in a period of time in the 20s where people who were notable baseball players and or aviators were every small child's hero.
Absolutely. Wow, this is fascinating stuff, folks. You don't want to miss it, so why don't you stay right with us? We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be back. Hey, if you've got a question or a comment or an idea, give us a call, 229-7984. That's
229-7984. Ready to race to you. These days are on.
Gold dust at my feet.
This year will be a simpler year, one fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love, a diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday.
Here, Sharp Passes Gallery. It is 4:51 in the afternoon, coming up on that 5 o'clock hour. I hope you have been thinking about Skunky, who spent 39-some-odd years on the bottom of Lake Greenwood, is now hanging low down there in Columbia, feeling low, hoping somebody will come along or some group or some people. The South Carolina Historic Aviation Foundation has come up, but they're going to have to come up with a way to restore this vehicle, and it would be phenomenal if it could be restored all the way to flying condition. And Gary Bird is with us here today talking about how can we get this done. It is a phenomenal, but the very fact of South Carolina's involvement in aviation history is phenomenal. I mean, we can't let this just die.
No, we certainly can't. We have an Aviation Hall of Fame for the state of South Carolina, which currently consists of a large collection of plaques with a small inscription on each one telling the story in two paragraphs or less of the individuals who are being honored by the state for their contributions to aviation and aeronautics in throughout history. And all those plaques are on the wall of a hangar at Hamilton Owens Field, or actually in the administration building, and not being seen by anybody. So that would be an appropriate place, the museum that we envision, to remove those plaques to, so that we can more easily, in one location, more accessible to the public, tell the story of aviation history, along with display this airplane and other airplanes that we intend to collect here in South Carolina that were flown by notable South Carolinians or that have a connection to the state of South Carolina. As the B-25 is not going to be the only artifact. We're actively soliciting donations of memorabilia, personal artifacts and effects from South Carolinians who flew in World War II, mm-hmm. World War I, the Korean War, Vietnam War. Those are all going to be stories that we want to tell. So we're already soliciting contributions and warehousing those so that they can be used at some point in the future for our aviation museum.
Absolutely. Well, that is terrific. Now, you have a website, schistoricalaviation.org. That's schistoricalaviation.org. Is that correct? Yes? Yes?
Let's go with Historic Aviation. We'll leave the AL off of there. Historicaviation.org.
Okay, historicaviation.org. I'm sorry, schistoricalaviation.org. And, of course, they have Skunky down there in Columbia. It looks like it may be going to have to move. It's a great place. Would have been a great place if you could have worked that out to have that as the area.
Well, the hangar in Columbia, where it has actually been housed for the best part of the last 20 years, would have been a perfect place, relatively centrally located on an active airstrip so that we could put on air fly-ins and air shows in conjunction with the museum. But those plans just kind of fell flat with Richland County Council, and we're only there on a temporary basis.
So this is now really moved into something that needs to be taken care of, but it needs to be addressed, because the longer this vehicle sits, this airplane sits, the harder it is, isn't it?
Sure. Like any old piece of equipment, it needs care and maintenance, and its lack of care and maintenance given to it during the possession of the previous foundation's ownership of the airplane has resulted in a situation where it would be really more difficult to restore now than it would have been 20 years ago. More difficult, more expensive. But at this particular point, with according to the State Department of Commerce's records, we have 330 separate corporations, small, medium, and large, in the state of South Carolina, from the coast to the mountains, that are involved in the aerospace industry, everything from making fasteners to building complete airplanes. If we can solicit or marshal the support of those corporations, along with the assistance that we can get from private citizens, this project can be done. It is just a matter of everybody getting involved and getting their shoulder to the wheel, so to speak, and pushing this project forward. It's just a matter, like anything else, of getting the wheels rolling forward. And once the forward momentum begins, it's easier to make the project keep rolling.
Absolutely. Now, just for the record, do you have are there people that actually do this? Do you know people when you've come up with your prices and everything? That's been for people that restore it, or
well, there's a large a group of individuals nationwide and worldwide, for that matter, who are involved in the business of restoring classic airplanes, and most specifically, World War II, what are referred to as warbirds. It is a rather large community, and there are quite a few businesses located around the nation that are involved in restoring the airplane. We propose in our general proposal to restore the airplane that the plane be broken back into its constituent components, the components that comprise the sections of the airplane that were put together,
mm-hmm.
and then those be restored concurrently at the locations that we can contract with. That would expedite the restoration of the airplane and may very well allow us to save some money on the restoration of the airplane in that working on a smaller job is somewhat less expensive and time-consuming when you can work around it when you have all your other big jobs, somewhat less time-consuming and hopefully less expensive to spread out the restoration of your section of the airplane in your shop. Over 18 to 24 months, a reasonable time span, and allow the airplane to be restored by section concurrently in several different locations.
So you all have come up with a whole restoration plan for this plane.
Yes, we have.
And you're just, in fact, you were showing me some of the pictures and everything, how you plan to put this together. So you're well on your way. Now, how many people are actually on your board or on the foundation here?
We have over 100 members of the foundation. We have about 9 members of the board that are the basic decision-making group.
Okay. So, and I presume, are they from across the state?
They're from across the state and a lot from just the Columbia area. We would solicit support from all areas, particularly here in Greenwood. I know there has to be a lot of people out here in Greenwood listening to Ann Eller's show right now who have a connection or maybe even a story about poor old Skunky. And we would perhaps like to collect those oral histories of the individuals who may have been involved in the restoration of the airplane. I know Mr. Self put together a very, very extensive booklet that detailed in great detail the project that was put together, but there's probably a lot of other stories that we need to know about.
We need to know who the sunbathers were that day.
We may have a few names on that list already. We may not be willing to share those unless they give us specific written permission.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, Gary, this has been a fun afternoon to be talking about this. You can check out their website, SouthCarolinaHistoricAviation.org. That's SouthCarolinaHistoricAviation.org. Basic memberships, if you'd like to become a member, start at $30 and go on up from there. So why not check this out? Why not get involved? It's something that is very important, not only to the state, but right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Actually, Lake Greenwood took care of this vehicle for many, many, many years, 39 to be exact. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, so why not get involved? And if you'd like to talk to Gary, give him a call, 803-312-4601. That's 803-312-4601. That's the South Carolina Historic Aviation Foundation. Hey, Gary, thanks so much for coming out.
Thank you so much for having me in today. We're looking forward to doing something important for the state of South Carolina and for the county of Greenwood.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for me. Hey, I got a lot of work this afternoon, so I'm going to have to skip happy hour this afternoon, unfortunately, but you keep it right here on WCRS, 1450 AM, and don't forget, you can always listen to us on the internet at WCRS1450AM.net. That'll do it for us. News is in progress. Don't you go away.